Good morning, Donna. It's good to be here. Thank God for the privilege. It's been a couple of weeks since I've been here. I've been to Guatemala and back since I was here the last time. Had a blessed time with Brother Mike Clark and his wife, Dottie. The children's home there is prospering and doing well. They have about 450 children and young people that they are ministering to and raising up in the ways of the Lord.
And how many did they start with?
Well, they went down there in 1989 with five of their own children. They did not know the language. They did not know anything other than God said, go to Guatemala. And so they went. And Mike told me one time, he said he figured if they ever had 30 children that they would be successful.
That is so amazing to me.
Yeah. That if they took care of 30 children, why
they would. And they had a program here for a lot of years and then just decided he needed to kind of steer in a different direction.
Yep.
But it is amazing to me. I love to hear the reports about the things that they're doing. It just proves to me if we will do what God says do and just start where you are, start with one, start with five, start with whatever you got now.
Yep.
And keep believing God, what a difference you can make. How many kids does he have now?
They have between 450 and 475.
And they send these kids to college?
Oh, they got 70 that are in college. And they've got...
I have one in college and Fred a little bit.
They have a school on the property there, their own school, that they have teachers. They pay the teachers. The state doesn't pay the teachers. They pay them. They got about 275 or 300 of the other kids that are
in that school. And they just believe God and do what God says.
That's all they've done. Mike says this. He says, what I need, I have. What I don't have, I don't need. And that's the philosophy that he's operated under.
I have that in my Bible here somewhere.
They have been very, very faithful, and God has demonstrated
what I need,
fully.
I have. What I don't need, I don't have. If I don't have it, I don't need it.
That's right.
Amen.
Now, that's not the standard way of thinking in most, especially Western Americans, Western American Christians. And when I say Western, I'm not talking about what we call the West. I'm talking about America is considered a Western nation. And the western part of the world, and we are materialistically oriented, even in the church.
Yes.
And he has escaped that, and yet God has blessed and prospered what they've done. They have 10 or 12 acres of land, and there's buildings all over it, dormitories.
Nice.
They got a nice buildings. They have a trade school. They're actually building on part of their property. They're building a church building for the community. They use their cafeteria building for their own meetings, but they bought land adjoining that, and they're building a building to provide church for the community. And that, while that's being done, the young people go out. The teenagers, there's a number of them that go out on Saturdays and do evangelistic work, just do things for children and have things.
And they have been raised that way.
They've been raised in that.
Thinking of other people instead of me.
That's right. That's exactly right. So it's really a great ministry. If you want to know a little bit more about it, you can go to Casa Aleluya. That's Aleluya with an A. On Google, put that in Google, or you can go to, if you do Facebook, I have a Facebook page, Wells of Salvation, and you can go there and go back a couple of days, maybe a week, and you'll find a posting that I did on Facebook that has the web address for Mike's journal. You need to read Mike's journal. He writes something nearly every day of what's going on and what they're doing, and plus a teaching, just talking talking the word, you know, sharing how the word works in our lives. They're great people. They're great people of God. And I'm blessed to be related to them.
Amen.
What I wanted to do this morning, last time I was here, we talked about becoming good soil, how that through the workings of God in our lives, He makes us to be good soil. We had taught that from Matthew 13 about the sower sowing the word and the four different kinds of soil, the pathway soil that's packed down, walked on, the shallow soil that has rocks in it, and just a little soil, and how the seed takes root in that and doesn't survive because it has no depth of earth. And then the thorny soil that the seed gets planted in, but there's other things growing there, and so the word is choked out. And then the good soil. And so I was meditating on that and thinking about it. And Psalms 1, verse 1 says, "Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night." This is a thought. The man mentioned above, in other words, Psalms 1, verse 1 and 2, that kind of man, this man that has been mentioned above, has been discipled, been trained, been taught, directed and corrected by the Lord. That does not just happen. You do not just become one who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. You do not just become one in a moment that stands not in the way of the sinners and doesn't sit in the seat of the scornful, but you have to learn how to do that kind of stuff. You have to learn how to delight in the law of the Lord. You can be born again, spirit-filled, one of them tongue talkers and dance and shout, and still not know how to do any of that stuff. Mm-hmm. Not know how to walk not in the counsel of the ungodly. Being born again and being spirit-filled doesn't mean you know anything. Mm-hmm. You're at ground level. You got to learn. I've been studying that word learn. Everybody gets to learn. God gave every one of us the ability to learn. So the man mentioned in Psalms chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, has been discipled, been trained, taught, directed and corrected by the Lord. He has become good soil by the plowing of the Lord.
And the more you pursue the learning, the faster you learn.
You have to stick with it. That's exactly right. You can't just do that on a part-time basis. It's got to become full-time job.
Yes.
Then verse 3 says, "And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper." God wants you to be a tree that he has planted. Now, I did a little study on this, and if you have a Bible program on your computer, or if you have a Strong's Concordance, you can go look at this and find that I'm not just blowing smoke on you.
Or making things up.
That's what blowing smoke on a guy is. You just made up something and tell somebody. It says you'll be like a tree planted. That word planted in the Hebrew means transplanted.
Mm.
That means a tree that's been transplanted in an orchard is a tree that's been raised in a nursery.
Mm.
Raised on purpose with a plan. And what you have to do is, first of all, provide God with the right kind of soil. Your heart, your heart has to have been plowed. God's a good farmer, and I think, you know, you say, well, that sower was sowing seed everywhere. Yeah, and God's kind of like that. He don't cull anybody.
Mm, amen.
He doesn't cull anybody. Thank God. I'd have been one of them too. He just doesn't cull anybody. But if you allow God, he'll work in your life. Mm-hmm. And so he said, he'll be like a tree that's transplanted by the rivers of water. Now that word rivers means irrigation canals. So there's two words there, transplanted and irrigation canals. That means God will put you in his orchard.
Mm.
When I was a boy, my grandfather was a citrus farmer. And he had some land, and he bought some small trees and planted them in his land. And he cared for those trees. He watered them, he cultivated them, he pruned them. He did whatever it took to get those trees to grow with one purpose, producing fruit. So he says here that if you allow God to disciple, to train, to teach you. Now that you see, that's not just about going to church on Sunday morning. There's too much of that. Folks just go to church on Sunday morning and think they got the job done.
And live any way they want when they get home.
Well, they can even be nice.
Or argue all the way to church and argue all the way.
You reckon? it's about how you live, brothers and sisters.
Amen. Said the attitude of your heart.
Yeah, and the desire of your heart. Yes. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth his fruit in his season. God will nurture you and care for you, but you have to let him plow in the soil of your heart, root out the things that are growing there that are not productive in his kingdom. Allow him to get out the hard places, heal the wounded places, and plant the seed of his word to grow up into a tree of righteousness, because that's what God's doing. So he will transplant. It says this tree's been transplanted. I'm not a tree farmer. My grandfather was a citrus farmer. He cared for orange and grapefruit trees and did well with it. I've never done that, but I've read about it and I know about it, and I've learned this, that when a little tree is from a seedling to then it's put into a little pot and it's allowed to grow. Each time you transplant that tree, it's a difficult, traumatic experience for the tree, but it also strengthens it. Mm-hmm. Believe it or not. Mm-hmm. So moving it, letting it grow and take root, and then picking it up and moving it to another, from one pot to another, and finally to a place in the orchard where it's going to be. That strengthens it. And so when you transplant it, and God moves his people sometimes. He does that. Trees, it says, the word transplanted is a difficult, a strengthening circumstance done on purpose. Been transplanted and put by the irrigation canals in order to produce in a season designed by the Lord, not you. You see, the season that you're going to produce the fruit that God wants from your life is not designed by you. I can remember as a young Christian, I knew from the time I was 16 years old that I was called into the ministry, but I didn't know what to do. In fact, I didn't want to do that because I didn't like what I saw, just to be plain with you. I didn't like what I saw in a lot of the preachers. When I was 16 years old, I had read the Word and studied the Word, and I didn't see anybody doing what I saw in the Word. And it was some 20 years later that I run across a man that was doing it. However, when I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and when I was 28, I tried to get out into the ministry. It wasn't my season, and God didn't allow it. Wasn't my season. It says he'll bring forth his fruit in his season. God has a designed season for you. And when it's your season, then God will bring forth fruit if you will stay rooted and grounded where he plants you. He has a definite designed purpose for your life. Now, let's read something in Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 60, if you turn there with me. Isaiah chapter 60, and we want to read in verse 21. Chapter 60, verse 21. It says, and your people, also your people shall be righteous. They shall inherit the land forever. The branch of my planting, the work of my hands, that I may be glorified. You see, God will plant you. He will plant you as a tree of righteousness. Let me read it again. Also your people shall all be righteous. They shall inherit the land forever. The branch of my planting, the work of my hands, that I may be glorified. Let God work in your life. God's a good farmer. Let him plow in your life. Recognize that God deals with us most of the time through our circumstances. If you get in the Word, begin to meditate in the Word. Be like that guy I mentioned there in Psalms 1. He meditates in the Word day and night. You have to know about God. If you read the Scripture, you get to know who God is. You get to know what He's like. You get to know what He does, and you get to know why He does it. And if you know those things, who He is, what He's like, what He does, and why He does it, then you'll know how to cooperate with Him.
Amen.
Most cases and most people in the church today, they don't study or read the Scripture at all. They get a little bit of the Word when they go to church on Sunday mornings. Mm. Amen. Well, you don't believe in going to church on Sunday mornings, Brother Tisdale? Yeah, I do. Amen. But if you only ate once a week, you wouldn't be doing very well.
I told a young fellow a day or so ago, the thing that you feed the most is the strongest. And so if you're being led by your flesh instead of your spirit, it is because you're starving your spirit to death and you're feeding your flesh, and so your flesh rules.
That's right. Now, God wants to make you the branch of His planting, make you the work of His hands, that He would be glorified. And so we have to present ourselves to Him. That's what Paul said, to present yourselves to the Lord as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. He says, do not be conformed to this world. Don't be shaped, molded, formed by this world, but be transformed by renewing your mind. You renew your mind by finding out who God is, what He's like, what He does, and why He does it. You renew your mind by learning how to do what God's Word says do. You have to step out on it. You have to begin to obey God, even when it doesn't make a lot of sense. When God told Abraham, leave your country, leave your kindred, leave your father's house, and go to a land that I will show you, it didn't make a whole lot of sense because he didn't even know where he was going. It says that in Hebrews 11, that he went out not knowing where he went. He didn't even have to know which direction to go. He just had to leave. Mm-hmm. And then God would guide him. Now, Isaiah chapter 60, verse 1. This scripture, verses that Jesus quoted over in Luke chapter 4 when he was there, in Nazareth. It says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to preach the good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Now, all of that, all that's said there, that you cannot, just because you got born again and been baptized in the Holy Spirit, does not mean you can go out and do all that. God has to make the soil of your heart good soil.
Amen.
You have to allow Him to plow and do the rooting out of things that are contrary to His purpose and plan. You have to allow God to work in your life. It says, and then the rest of that verse 3 says, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He might be glorified. God wants to work in your life.
Amen.
But here's what something the Lord told me one time. He said, there's no use for you to be in a hurry, because he said, what I'm doing in your life is going to take the rest of your life.
Amen.
Our problem is, we want it to be like McDonald's. I can go there and tell them what I want and get it and walk out in less than 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
If it takes more than 5 minutes, we get upset.
We want it now and we want it our way.
That's right. And you're not going to get it right now, and you're not going to get it your way. You're going to get it when God says, like he says.
Yes. Or you're going to lap around that mountain one more time until the next time you decide to listen.
This kingdom of God is not McDonald's.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to happen your way. It's not about you. It's about him. It's about his purposes. And unless and until we decide that we will submit to him, come under his authority, allow him as the good father that he is to direct our steps, to plow in our lives according to his purpose and plan, if he'll love you, you can be saved and you can bounce around and you can butt your head up against the wall and you can get all kinds of knots and bruises doing it your way. But if you just give up, and I'm talking to believers, I'm not talking to people that's not saved when I said that. Most believers hadn't give up yet.
Mm-hmm.
My friend Oswald Chambers uses the word abandon.
Mm-hmm.
Not abandon God, but abandon yourself to God.
Amen.
Give up. Surrender. Let God have his way in your life. And when you do that, then God will begin to, through his word and through his spirit, anoint you to do the things that are there in Isaiah chapter 61, verse 1. I know men, personally know men, and heard of dozens of others that were born again, spirit-filled, baptized in the Holy Spirit, had an anointing, and made a horrible mess of their lives because they didn't let God plow in their life. Just because you're anointed doesn't mean you can do anything right. Samson was anointed by God, but go read his life. He was a spoiled brat. He wanted it his way, when he wanted it. Yes, he got God worked through him all the time.
Some of the examples in the Bible are examples of what God can do in spite of who we are, because we have not let him work.
But it doesn't have to be that way.
It doesn't have to be that way. If we would learn from other people's mistakes, we wouldn't have to make them all ourselves.
That's exactly right.
And if we would learn quickly, we could get into the will of God faster.
In this Bible I'm talking about you reading, when I said to you, you read the Bible to find out who God is, what he's like, what he does, and why he does it. But you also find out in there what God's purpose for you is, what God's purpose for man is, how he works in men, the way he will direct men's life, and what the end result of him doing that in their lives is. Or you can also find out about the knuckleheads that went their own way. You don't have to. Yeah, you don't have to go do all that stuff yourself. It's all written down there. It's an open book test, brothers and sisters. Listen to what Jeremiah 17:7 says. It says, "Blessed is the man that trust in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted," and it's that same word that's used in Psalm 1. It means transplanted. "He shall be as a tree transplanted by the waters," and there it is again, the irrigation canals, "and that spreads out her roots by that river," or that irrigation canal, "and shall not see when heat comes, but her leaf shall be green and shall not be careful or fearful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit." It doesn't make any difference what's going on. If you're walking with God and you're a tree that's been transplanted by the irrigation canals that he has provided, then even when a drought comes, you won't be fearful. You'll be like what the scripture says about Isaac when he planted seed in the year of the famine and got 100-fold return. Isaac was a tree of righteousness. He was the planting of the Lord, and he obeyed God. He planted seed in the year of the famine. If you know what causes a famine, you think you can know why that was in the natural foolish. What causes a famine, brothers and sisters, is drought. Mm-hmm. Drought is the cause. No rain for an extended period of time. Not just no rain for a couple of weeks. We get all excited and upset when it doesn't rain for a month or so. Mm. How about 3 years?
Oh, we get excited before that.
Oh, we get excited a long time before that. But a drought, you go 1 year without rain and you're going to have a drought. Mm-hmm. There's going to be a shortage of food. Mm-hmm. You say, well, that won't ever happen here. Well, don't be saying that because you don't know. Blessed is the man that trusts in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted, transplanted by the waters, and that spreads out her roots by the river, and shall not see or be disturbed or be distressed when the heat comes. But her leaf shall be green and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. Ezekiel 47, listen to this. Along the bank of the river, on this side and that, will grow all kinds of trees used for food. Their leaves will not wither, and their fruit will not fail. They will bear fruit every month, because their water flows from the sanctuary. Their fruit will be for food, and their leaves for medicine. Listen to me. That's talking about trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that live by the Word of God, live by the instruction and the direction of the Lord. And so they will grow all kinds of trees used for food. God wants you to be an instrument in His hand to provide provision spiritually, mentally, physically, and emotionally, and financially for people that don't know, that don't understand. Their leaves will not wither, and their fruit will not fail. You'll always be producing fruit. They will bear fruit every month, not just once a year, but every month, because their water flows from the sanctuary. Water is life to a tree, and your life flows from the presence of God. Your life flows from the river of the Spirit of God that's in you. And He says, their fruit will be for food and their leaves for medicine. It's talking about the produce of your life as a tree of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He would be glorified. That's what God wants you to be. But I'll just tell you, that don't happen overnight. Those trees that my grandfather planted didn't produce fruit the first year. But he cared for them anyway. You don't have to be producing fruit the first year for God to care for you. You don't even have to be producing fruit the second year. Mm-hmm. But as you remain planted where He has transplanted you, and you remain by the irrigation canals where there's the provision of the Word and the Spirit of God, God will grow you, and you'll become a tree of righteousness that will glorify Him. But you have to stick with it. And you have to draw near to God. You have to be listening to God, and you have to be willing to obey God, even in the difficult times, even when you don't understand what He's doing. There's a bunch of stuff I don't understand why God does, but I trust Him.
Amen.
I trust Him.
We wouldn't have to trust Him if we knew everything
He's
doing.
No, that's exactly right. That's if you have to have all the answers before you do anything, you don't trust God at all. And that's very clear and very plain. Let's pray. Father, I thank You for Your goodness and Your kindness. I thank You, Lord, for Your hand on Your people. Thank You, Father, for Your blessing and Your provision in our lives. And Lord, I ask that the words that we've spoken and the things that have been heard by these Your people, Lord, that it would take root in our hearts, grow up and bear fruit. And I thank You, my Lord, and I praise You for doing it in Jesus' name. Amen.